To fulfill means to make someone satisfied or happy. To fulfill means to make someone satisfied or happy. I wonder what you find your fulfillment in. What is it in your life that you find fulfillment in and satisfaction in? Tonight, as we open up God's Word and as we watch the video together, we're going to meet two people. We're going to meet a lost boy who tries to find fulfillment in everything his culture had to offer him in his day and generation. And in the video, we're going to meet a lost woman who tried to find fulfillment in everything that her culture and her generation offered her. And so as we meet the lost boy and as we meet the lost girl, the question comes to us, in who or in what do we find fulfillment? This story in Luke chapter 15 is an incredible story. Charles Dickens said that it's perhaps the greatest story that has ever been written about a lost boy. In fact, if we were able to spend time tonight as we look at where this lost boy finds his fulfillment, we'll actually find that it's a story of two lost boys. The first boy in the story, he tries to find fulfillment in running away from his father and breaking all the rules. But the second son, he tries to find fulfillment in keeping all the rules. If he just stays close to his dad will really love him because of how he performs. And yet both sons are lost. Both sons are lost. But will this story reveal to us that this son can be found? Will this lost boy find fulfillment? Will the girl that we meet in the story on the screen find fulfillment? So let's look at this theme of the fulfilling God. Because while we meet this lost boy in this narrative in Luke 15, and while we meet this lost girl in the story in John's gospel, there's one common denominator in both stories, that there's a fulfilling God behind the scenes. There's a fulfilling God behind the scenes. But in Luke chapter 15, there are three parables. There's a parable about the lost sheep, there's a parable about the lost coin, and there's a parable about the lost son. One writer said this: the three parables are like three musical instruments, which, although each makes a different type of sound, are nevertheless playing the same tune. The sheep, though lost, will be found. The coin, though lost, will be found. The son, though lost, he will also be found. But this young boy, he wants to find fulfillment, but he's going to look for it tonight in all the wrong sorts of places. So firstly, we see the son rebelling against the fulfilling God. We see his rebellion. Let's drop down into the text. As Charles Dickens said, one of the greatest stories ever written, we see the rebellion of this lost son against the fulfilling God. Chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, verse 11. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. A man had two sons. Now, some of you young people who are here tonight, you've got to try to imagine what it was like to grow up in this culture. There were no iPods, no iPhones, no iWatches, no internet, if you can imagine a world like this. And in this particular culture, the way to pass the time was to gossip about everybody else. It was a shame, honor culture. So basically the hobby of a Middle Eastern villager was to talk about everybody else in the village and who was kind of on what point on the scale of the shameometer. So this was a scandalous story that Jesus is about to tell. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story about a man who had two sons, and the younger son told his father. This would have been scandalous to the original audience. I want a share of the estate now, but instead of waiting until you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. This young son had absolutely no right to ask his father for this. This is a scandal that's unfolding before our eyes. And Jesus is teaching this parable to the listeners that are all around him, and they would have known that what is happening now is an absolute disgrace. This is a selfish young guy who's so obsessed with what he wants. He's really telling the family he doesn't want to be a son anymore. He doesn't want to be a brother anymore. He doesn't want to be part of the family anymore. He doesn't want any authority figure over his life. He wants to find fulfillment in the things that he wants to run after. He wants to be free. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, I want a share of the estate now. I want the goods now. I want my money now. Sounds a bit like our own culture. I want it now. Buy now and pay later. I want it right now. I want fulfillment right now. I don't want any delayed gratification. I want it right now. He maybe had dreams of what it would be like to leave his Middle Eastern village environment and go skipping down the lane off into the big city and everything that the city had to offer. He maybe heard tales about what it was like for a young boy in the city. And he says, I'm bored being in this Middle Eastern culture. I'm bored living under my father's rules. I want to go to the big city. So what does the father do? What his father does is even more of a scandal and a disgrace. So his father, verse 12, agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. And a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money on wild living. Look what it says in the text. It says, a few days later, verse 13, this young son's ready to go. This young son, though he's living in this Middle Eastern peasant village for many, perhaps weeks, months, and years, his heart and his head's been in the city. The fulfillment that he could find there, the joy that he could find there, the satisfaction that he's been looking for his whole life. I know that if I go to that big city, I will find everything I've been looking for my whole life. He packed all of his things. He wants no restrictions. He wants no accountability. He wants no authority. He wants no discipline. And he gets to the city. But look at verse 14. About the time the money ran out. It's incredible, particularly for young people living in this culture. Our culture promises so much and yet often delivers so little. And it was the same for this young boy in his Middle Eastern culture. It says about the time his money ran out. Not only did the money run out, but look what else is happening. Verse 14, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. Now, we find it so hard not only to put ourselves in a Middle Eastern peasant village, but to put ourselves in a particular culture like this when a famine comes over the land. If a famine comes over the land, it means utter destitution for you. It ultimately is like signing your death warrant unless you have a family around you that can maybe scrimp and save to get something or someone from somebody else. This kid's in a place of utter destitution. People in this particular culture, when a famine broke out, started to do crazy things. They would have been eating sandals, eating from bins, eating stray animals. They were going stir crazy. But what happens next to this young rebellious boy? Verse 15, he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. Now let's put ourselves in this Middle Eastern village once again. This is a Jewish village. And what do Jews not do? They do not go near pigs. Never mind eat pigs. Never mind be in the environment of pigs. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. And the boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He's now at the bottom of the barrel. As he was trying to feed the pigs were so hungry that they were almost moving in front of him, and this young destitute boy can't even get in front of the pigs to get anything from the very kind of trough that they're eating from. But this is where rebellion from God will lead us. If we as a young person, a middle-aged person, a mature person, an older person do not seek to find fulfillment in God and God alone, it will always lead to the bottom of the barrel. It will also leave us in this pigsty of sin. But this young son gets to a place of repentance. This rebellion against the fulfilling God of the universe leads to a place where he wants to repent. Repent means to be walking one direction and to seek fulfillment in what you think is right for you, and to realize actually the path that God has for you is to walk this direction. And so the young son, he's been skipping down the lane from his Middle Eastern peasant village to the big city, probably with prostitutes and drink and drugs and everything that was available for a young person of that culture. And he realized that it led to a place of utter destitution. While it had things that brought some temporary satisfaction, he realized in the pigsty that only a true, genuine, fulfilling relationship with God would satisfy. And so he comes to this place of repentance. Look at verse 17. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have enough food to spare. And here I am dying of hunger." Here I am dying of hunger. But I love what verse 17 says at the start. When he finally came to his senses, in reaching the bottom was actually the beginning of a new day. It was as if God has now been able to speak to this young son in a very intimate way, and he says, "Come back to the heart of the Father." It's as if the Father has let this son go and try to find fulfillment in all the wrong types of places so that he will be able to come to a place where he will come to his senses. When he came to his senses, he thought about the servants. He thought about the way his father treated his servants. He thought about the way his father treated the hired men, and he said, "If that is how my dad treats simple hired servants, then surely he will treat me in a best way." And so he decides within himself. Look at verse 18. He says, "I'll go home. I'll go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you.'" Now, why did the young son go home? Because he trusted the heart of the Father. The young son went home because he trusted the heart of the Father. Yeah, he had to go skipping down the lane. Yeah, he had to go to the city. Yeah, he made so many mistakes with wild living, no doubt with all sorts of sinful activity. But there was something within him that he was able to come to his senses, and he remembered the heart of the Father. And it leads him to a place of repentance. Verse 18, "Father," he's practicing his repentance. He's practicing his confession. "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you." Literally in the original text, it's as if, "Father, I've sinned as high as the heavens. Dad, if I had time, it would take me a long time to tell you just how much I have sinned in the big city, Dad." But no matter how much he had sinned, he trusted the heart of the Father. And so he comes back to his Father. So thirdly, this rebellion leads to repentance, but then thirdly, it leads to rejoicing in the heart of the fulfilling God. Look what it says, verse 20. "So he returned home to his father." Now, if you're like me, you maybe have conversations with people, and you go away, and you know you've got to chat to them again. So in your head, do you sometimes rehearse the conversation in your head before you're going to have it? Or am I the only one? Now, as he's returning home to this Middle Eastern peasant village, do you think he's rehearsing the conversation? While he trusts the heart of the Father, he's got to walk back into the peasant village. He's got to go back to his home. He's got to be around the hired servants. He's got to be around his other brother, the older brother that stayed at home, the older brother who sought to try and find fulfillment in keeping all the rules. This young son has literally got to go back with his tail between his legs, having committed sins as high as the heavens. No doubt he's rehearsing his confession the whole way home. And so he returns home to the Father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Do you think the father every morning and night looked out of the window Will he come home today? It says today he'll come home. Is this the day he'll realize that I really love him? Is this the day that he will realize that true satisfaction is actually being in the family? Of course, Jesus is telling this story, and the person in this story, the Father, is God the Father. And he's speaking about rebellious children who are trying to find joy and life and fulfillment in everywhere else except a relationship with the God of this universe. And so this young boy returns home to the father, and while he's still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. And you would have expected a Middle Eastern father to come with wrath and anger and justice. I'm going to show this young boy what's going to happen to him. No. Look what it says. Filled or brimming over with love and compassion, he ran to his son. Now, Middle Eastern men did not run. This is a shame and honor culture. They would have had skirts down to just above their ankles. They would have had sandals on their feet. And because they don't really have much going on in the Middle Eastern peasant village, the one thing you must maintain is your honor. Don't do anything shameful. But this father can see his son coming back down the lane. He's probably unrecognizable to the son that went skipping down the lane. And so this father leaves from his house and he's running through the village to his son who's coming in the countryside. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and he kissed him. But why? Why does he run? Because there's something serious about to happen at the gates. In a Middle Eastern peasant village, the elders of the village sat at the gates. They ruled the city with an iron rod. And if a prodigal son like this came back to the village after heaping shame not only on the family but the village, what were they to do with the prodigal? Deuteronomy 21:18 tells us, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or his mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of this young son and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now, does this father run into the countryside, past the elders, and bring them to the elders at the gate and say, now you've got to stone him? Look what it says in the text. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Because this is God the Father. This is the heart of a loving Father that no matter where we've been in our lives tonight, no matter where we have sought fulfillment, no matter where we have sought satisfaction, he alone can rescue. He alone can rescue. He alone can save. He alone can cleanse. He alone can make the foulest clean. He can set the sinner free. And look what the son, he's now in the arms of the father, no doubt smelling of the pigsty. And verse 21 says, look what his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be your son. But he doesn't even get his confession finished. Because look what his father says. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Not just any old robe. Bring my robe. Bring the father's robe. Bring the robe, that special robe, the one that hangs there only for the most special of occasion. Go and get it. I don't care how dirty my son looks. Put that robe on him. And also, get a ring for his finger. He's part of the family. Get that signet ring. Give it to him. Let everybody in this culture know, this is my son. And get sandals for his feet. Get sandals for his feet. Only wealthy people in a peasant village had sandals. Give him the sandals. And what else was he to get? Verse 23, and kill the calf we've been fattening in the pen. we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead. You see, without Christ in our life, without God the Father in our life, the Bible says, Ephesians 2, that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We are by nature objects of wrath. But look what it says here, for this son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And so the party began. Tonight we see the fulfilling God. One lost boy. And now in this video we're going to meet a lost girl. A lost girl who will be challenged to return to the heart of the Father.